listening to the Discipleship Now radio broadcast with your host, Pastor Hilton Wells. Stay tuned and allow the Holy Spirit to give you power, insight, and revelation from the Word of God to be the type of disciple that Christ has destined you to be. Listen closely, open your heart, and be blessed.
The scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. The New American Standard says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. The Amplified Version for the same chapter and verse says, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Everyone say, I will not rely on my own insight or understanding. It's very important. Verse 6 says, Amplified Version, in all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, capital H, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. At one point during this week, I believe the Lord spoke to me and simply said, do you trust me? Do you trust me? It's a very interesting statement when you hear God say, do you trust me? Because there's so many different things that can cause us not to trust God. And today I want to deal with three of them. One of them is impatience. How many of you know when the time test comes, it's a true test of whether or not you trust God? When things aren't happening as fast as you think that they should happen, do you still trust him? It's impatience. It's the time test. Secondly, things that seem impossible, the miraculous, these things cause our trust to be challenged in God. Turn me up on the monitors, please. Thirdly, when things are impractical, they're not realistic without God. In other words, these things couldn't possibly be. That doesn't make sense. That's not realistic. But I want you to know, if we can trust God, he will help us with impatience. If we will trust God, he can do the impossible. If we can trust God, he's always doing impractical things, things that seem to be not realistic. The Hebrew word for trust is the word bata, which simply means to be confident or sure in. It means to be bold, to be secure, to be careless in a sense, to put confidence, to make or to trust. It leads us to the Greek word pistis, which we know is the Greek word for faith, which is also belief, confidence, trust, fidelity, or faithfulness. When you look at the text that Solomon gives here, we know that Solomon was considered to be the wisest man that ever lived. He says to trust the Lord with how much of your heart? Ushers, thank you. The all is the challenge. Because what happens when a situation comes to where I trust God a little and I doubt God a lot? Or I trust God to the same degree that I doubt God? Am I really in faith at all? Which helps me in my humanity thank God for the man who said, Lord, I believe. I believe. Because there are some things where we have no problem believing God. Some of us in here have been saved for a while, and we have no problem believing that God saved us. Somebody saved man. We know that we're saved. That's no question. Some people may even question their salvation, but for the majority, we do not question the fact that we've been born again. But what about that sickness? That sickness that you see that the loved one has that they have not been healed from yet? Do you still trust God? What about that financial situation that has not seemed to have changed yet? You've been giving, you've been sowing, you've been believing, but the manifestation that you desire to see has not taken place yet. Do you still trust Him? What about that situation that you've brought before God time and time again, but it seems like the situation has not changed? Do you still trust God? I want to introduce you, number one, to a man who passed the patience test. Now, he did not pass this test with an A+. He had some failures along the way, but I want you to know that he did pass the test. In Genesis chapter 12, starting at verse number 1, we meet a man that most of us are familiar with by the name of Abraham. And it's here in Genesis chapter 12 that Abraham, who is known to be the father of faith, he's known to be the one who had his name changed from Abram, which means exalted father, to Abraham, or Abraham, which means father of the multitude or many nations. The promise was given to Abraham, and it's funny, before I even read the text, Abram's father's name was Terah. And Terah had an assignment to go to the same place which Abram was assigned to go to, the land of Canaan. But it's funny, Terah's father never made it there. He stopped in the land of Haran, which was actually the name of his baby boy. Now, it does not say that he built that city, but he did stop there. I wonder what caused Terah to start off going in the right direction, but camp out somewhere that was not God's destiny for his life. How many of you know we can start off on the right path, but somewhere along the way, we begin to camp out? I'm going to tell you, one of the main things that can cause you to camp out is like-minded people that are not forward-thinking, like-minded people that are not full of faith. What do you mean? In other words, in all of us, there is some unbelief. In all of us, there is some tradition, there is some religion, there is some insecurities, if you will, things that cause us to still thrive in our humanity more than we do in our spirituality. And I want you to know that it's very important that we're able to identify this, because if not, we'll begin to camp out with the people that make us feel comfortable in our natural man, that make us feel comfortable just being average. When in order for us to really soar, you can't hang around chickens and expect to be an eagle. You'll always have the same chicken mentality. Amen. And we know chickens, they look low and think low. We know chickens, they don't fly very high. But that eagle, when we study him, always tends to be high by themselves. You might see some eagles up there, but it won't be a whole bunch of them like you will see a barnyard full of chickens. So you have to be very careful of the people that you get comfortable with, because sometimes they can stop you from soaring into your destiny. Terah, what happened to you? Why did you stop in Haran? The Bible never says God spoke to Terah. It just simply says Terah had took both Abram at that time. His name became Abraham later. He took his nephew Lot and he took Sarai, and they were headed to Canaan. Oddly enough, we're going to find in the text that God commanded Abram to go to Canaan. Could it have been that it was in Terah's destiny to go to Canaan, but he stopped in Haran because he became comfortable? How many times have we stopped doing what we were supposed to do because of a lack of trust in God? He said this morning, do you trust me? So he wasn't able to reach Terah, but in chapter 12, he begins to reach his son. How many of you know there are some things that we may not do that maybe our children will do? Amen. But I want you to know, don't you give up, though. Don't give up and say, my son or my daughter is going to do it. No. Look at your neighbor and say, do your part, do your part, do your part. Hallelujah. The Lord has said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to a land I will show you. How many know that takes confidence right there? For some of us, it was hard for us to leave the party scene. It was hard for us to leave the sin scene. It was hard for us to leave the family where everybody was playing dominoes and drinking gin and, you know, whatever, talking about it. It was hard for us to leave that family scene to go into faith, to go into righteousness, to go into living for God. Amen. But how many of you have to leave that if you're really going to be saved? We can't say we're saved and still living like the world. Amen, somebody. You have to leave that household. So God began to call Abram, just like he's called many of us. He's calling us higher. Tell somebody, he's calling me higher. And in calling me higher, he's calling me to be closer to him. You're going to have to leave your household. But Abram says, I'm sure to himself, who is this voice? I've never heard this voice. This voice telling me to leave what I know to be comfortable. This voice telling me to leave the people that I know and that know me. How many know that would be very difficult? How do you leave what's normal to you? How do you leave what's comfortable to you? Well, Abraham did it by faith. It requires us to trust him. Look at your neighbor and say, trust him, trust him. He says, Abram, go from your country, from your people, your father's household, to a land I will show you. Here's the promise. I will make you into a great nation. How many of you know Abraham never saw this? Those who've read their Bibles, amen, you've already read from Genesis to Revelation. You've read the 37 Old Testament, amen. You've read the 29 New Testament. You know that Abraham does not see this promise. But he strikes out in faith anyway. There are some promises that God makes to us. We may not see it, but how many know we need to trust him anyway because it's going to come to pass? Because that's the battle. It may come to pass in the next generation. But you don't stop doing what God has told you just because you don't see it right away. He says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. Now, he did see that. And I will make your name great. He did see that. And you will be a blessing. He did see that. And I will bless those who bless you. He's seen some of that. And whoever curses you, I will curse. He's seen that. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now, you know he didn't necessarily see that yet. Because that's talking about the coming Messiah. That's talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus came through the lineage of Abraham. But all nations would be blessed through him. Verse 4, so Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Now go to Genesis chapter 21, starting at verse 7. But I want you to be mindful of verse number 4. I'm going to read verse 4 again while you're turning to Genesis chapter 21. Verse 4 says, and Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old. Everybody say 75 years old. Let's say it together. Say 75 years old. Again, 75 years old. This is very important that you catch this. He was 75 years old. So now we're in Genesis chapter 21. A lot has transpired between Genesis 12 and Genesis 21. From this time, we've seen Abram, he's gone into Egypt because there was a famine in Canaan, and he took his wife and his children, and he had his wife say that that she's not his wife and that she's his sister. And while he's there, the Pharaoh began to get diseases among his countrymen, and they released Abram and his wife, and he comes out with cattle and silver and gold. And then he goes to one location, and God begins to speak to him and tell him that he's going to affirm the promise that he's going to be the father of many nations, that he's going to get the land that's promised to him. All these things begin to transpire. Him and his nephew Lot begin to separate. Lot goes right outside of Sodom. Sodom is captured. Lot is captured. Abram takes 318 of the trained men in his home, and he goes out and defeats five kings and brings Lot back. A lot of things happen in these 25 years.